ஓம் ஸ்ரீ கணேசாய நமஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ சரஸ்வத்யை நமஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஸ்ருதி ஸ்மிருதி புராணானாம் ஆலயம் கருணாலயம் நமாமி பகவத் பாத சங்கரம் லோக சங்கரம் சமஸ்த ஜன கல்யாணே நிரதம் கருணாமயம். மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யக்ருபா தமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். பரமானந்த மாதவம். நமஸ்ரீ சங்கரானந்த குருபாதாம்புஜன்மனே சவிலாச மகாமோஹ காஹக்ராசைக கர்மணே. What we just now chanted is the first verse of the first chapter of the Panchadashi, which is the Mangalacharana verse, just for the information of those who have newly joined. This verse will be chanting apart from the usual invocatory verses. We will be chanting this verse also at the beginning of every session. As you may be knowing, each chapter of the Panchadashi is a text by itself. It is a Prakarana Grantha by itself. What we mean by that is that there need not be any connection between this chapter and the earlier chapter. Therefore, the very word chapter is a misnomer. Usually in books, when we say chapter, there is a flow of thought. Usually, not necessarily. Usually, there is a flow of thought. One leads to the other. But in Panchadashi, 15 Prakarana Granthas have been put together, and they are called as Panchadashi. This also means that you can start reading, studying any chapter. Anywhere. Anywhere means not in the middle. Of the 15 chapters, you can take up for study anywhere. That's why in the Sandipani, sometimes you will find few chapters are taken. And that is why you don't find Prathamodhyaya, Dvitiyodhyaya. Is it there in your book? It's there? Okay. But usually in commentaries, you don't find Adhyaya word used. You will find the term Prakarana used. So the first chapter is what was termed as Tattva Viveka Prakarana. The second was Mahabhuta, is it not? Mahabhuta Viveka Prakarana. The third was Panchakosha Viveka Prakarana. ವ್ಯಾಕರಣ. ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಟ್. ಇನ್ಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಧ್ಯಾಯ ಯು ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಯೂಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಕರಣ. ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಕರಣ ಟೆಲ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಡೀಲ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್. ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಟೆಲ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಡಿಲಿನಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆರ್ ಅ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಎಲಾಬರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ. ಅಂಡ್ ದೀಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅಧಿಕಾರಿ ನಿರ್ಣಯ, ದ ಎಸೆನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವೇದಾಂತ. ಅಧಿಕಾರಿ ನಿರ್ಣಯ, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫೈಡ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿರೆಂಟ್. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್. ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಅದ್ವೈತ ವೇದಾಂತ, ವೇದಾಂತ ಈಸ್ ಗುರುಪಸದನ. ಸೊ ರೀಚಿಂಗ್ ದ ಗುರು. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಸೇ ರೀಚಿಂಗ್ ದ ಗುರು, ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಗುರು. ಲೈಕ್ ಹೌ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಸೇ ಅಧಿಕಾರಿ ನಿರ್ಣಯ, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫೈಡ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿರೆಂಟ್, ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಗುರು, ಟ್ರೂ ಗುರು, ರೈಟ್ ಗುರು. ಇನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಗೋ ಟು ದ ಗುರು. ಉಪಸದನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ರೀಚಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಗುರು ಉಪಸದನ, ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್. ದ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಉಪದೇಶ, ದ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್. ಒನ್ಸ್ ಯು ರೀಚ್ ದ ಗುರು, ದ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್. ದ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ತ್ರೀ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೂ ಯು ಆರ್, ಮೀನ್ ಹೂ ಆಮ್ ಐ. ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಾಡ್. ಸೊ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವಿ ಕಾಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಅಸ್ ತ್ವಂಪದ, ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಗಾಡ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಪುಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ತತ್ಪದ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ರೆಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಸೆಪರೇಟ್. ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್. ದೆಫೋರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಪುಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್, ಜಗತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ಪುಟ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅಸ್ ತತ್ಪದ ವಿಚಾರ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸೀ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವಿವೇಕ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿ, ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ನೋ ಜಗತ್ ವಿಚಾರ. ಈವನ್ ದೋ ವಿ ಸೇ ಜೀವ, ಜಗತ್, ಈಶ್ವರ, ಯು ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಎನಿ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫಿಕ್ ಪೋರ್ಷನ್ ಡಿವೋಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಜಗತ್ ಪರ್ಸೆ. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ರೆಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ ಜಗತ್ ಆಸ್ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಈಶ್ವರ, ಅನ್ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಈವನ್ ಅದರ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಲಿಜಿಯನ್. ಜಗತ್ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ದ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಫಿಸಿಕಲ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಜಗತ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಬಿ ಗ್ರಾಸ್, ಸಟಲ್, ಆಸ್ ವೆಲ್ ಆಸ್ ಕಾಸಲ್. ರೈಟ್? ಸೊ ದ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಫ್ ಈಶ್ವರ, ದ ಸಟಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅ ಸಟಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಫ್ ಈಶ್ವರ, ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಕಾಸಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅ ಕಾಸಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಫ್ ಈಶ್ವರ. ದೆಫೋರ್ ಜಗತ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಈಶ್ವರ. ದೆಫೋರ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ವೈ ಐ ಸೆಡ್ ಜಗತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ಟುಗೆದರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ತತ್. ತತ್ ಇಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಹಾವಾಕ್ಯ ತತ್ವಮಸಿ, ತತ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬೋತ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ವೆಲ್ ಆಸ್ ಈಶ್ವರ, ಆರ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಜಗತ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಬ್ಸ್ಯೂಮ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ದಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾಟಗರಿ ಆಫ್ ಈಶ್ವರ. ಅಂಡ್ ತತ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಜೀವ. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಈಸ್ ಐ ಸೆಡ್ ಉಪದೇಶ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ನಾಟ್. ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಇಸ್ ತ್ವಂಪದ ವಿಚಾರ, ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಇಸ್ ತತ್ಪದ ವಿಚಾರ, ದ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಈಸ್ ಐಕ್ಯ ವಿಚಾರ. An enquiry into their identity as explicated by the Mahavakya, such as Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, and so on. So these three becomes what is called as Upadesha. So what would we say? The main topics: Adhikari Lakshana, Guru Pasadana, Upadesha. Now one must hear to the Upadesha, that becomes Shravana. And as one listens to the Upadesha, doubts might arise. and those doubts are removed by manana. And even after the doubts are dispelled, contrary notions which could be very, very strongly rooted in one's personality, they need to be removed by nididhyasana. Shravana is called listening, but it should be, there are definitions about what it is. Manana is called reflection, again there are definitions. And then nididhyasana, meditation. So this becomes the next topic, which comes under a broad topic called sadhana. So adhikari nirnaya, then guru pasadana, upadesha, sadhana, four topics over. And by the application of these sadhanas, the final result is jivan mukti. Liberation even while living. And when the body falls, again there is no rebirth. It's called videha mukti. So jivan mukti and videha mukti becomes a phala, the result. So thus there are five topics only in, five broad topics only in Vedanta. And any text which deals with all these five topics in detail, covering all these topics with their various nuances also. Meaning, for example, what is the difference between Nididhyasana and Samadhi in the sadhana. Now, when it comes to Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, what are the possible doubts which could arise against this identity, Aikya, Virodha, Shankha? And there could be texts which deal only with that. For example, you take a text called Advaita Makaranda. Advaita Makaranda only deals with the possible doubts. Now, that is a Prakarana Grantha, but deals only one Manana. That's all. Not even Shravana, Manana only it deals. Right? So, top texts which deal in detail with all these topics are called as Shastra Grantha. Now, one may wonder, what about texts like Viveka Chudamani? Don't they deal, if you have studied some texts like that, don't they deal with all the topics in detail? What about a text called Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha? It's another work of Bhagavan Adi Shankaracharya, larger than Viveka Chudamani in its canvas. Very wonderful text. Now, don't they deal with all topics? Can't they be called a Shastra? Again, we have to understand that in the tradition, even though there could be texts which deal with all the topics, they have to be source texts. Source texts. What do you mean by source texts? Upanishads. Again, when we say Upanishads are called as Shastra Grantha, one would ask a question, Keno Upanishad, Ishavasya Upanishad, Aitreya Upanishad, all the topics are covered. How would they become Shastra Grantha? When we say Upanishads, we don't refer to a particular Upanishad, we refer to the entire body of the Upanishadic literature. Like how, when I say Bhagavad Gita, I don't refer to chapter 3. I refer to the entire treatise. The same way, when I say Upanishad, I refer to the entire Upanishadic literature, and the entire Upanishadic literature becomes what is termed as Shastra Grantha. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita also is termed a Shastra Grantha because it also contains the essence of all the Upanishads. Sarvopanishado gavo dugdha gopala nandanaha partho vatsa sudhir bhokta dugdham gitamrutam mahat. The dugdha, the milk, as though the Upanishads are all cows, and Bhagavan Shri Krishna is the cow herd, the milk, the person who milks the cow, and the final milk that we have, all the Upanishads are cows. Not one Upanishad is a cow. And the milk gathered from all these Upanishads is what is termed the Bhagavad Gita, and that also becomes a Shastra. So too Brahma Sutra becomes Shastra. Because what does the Brahma Sutra do? The Brahma Sutra takes the Upanishad Vakyas and strings them into a garland, so that it covers all aspects of the Shastra. That is a beauty. And what Veda Vyasa has done is that he has taken 10 Upanishads. You could take any number of Upanishads and create the Shastra out of it. But Veda Vyasa, in his wisdom, he took the Isha, Kena, Kata, Mundaka, Mandukya, Tittiri, Taitreya, Aitreya, Chandogya, Pradharanyaka. Prashna. Isha, Kena, Kata, Prashna, Mundamandukya, Tittiri, Aitreyam, Chachandogyam, Bradharanyakam, Tatha. He took these 10 Upanishads in his wisdom. And what he did was, using these 10 Upanishads, he presented the entire Shastra, meaning all these 5 topics. Right? And thus, the Brahma Sutra also becomes a Shastra. And these 3, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Brahma Sutra, called as Prasthanatraya, in Vedanta, they stand for Shastra Grantha. So even though when we say Prakarana, we refer to topic, it is to be noted also as a footnote. Topics should be covered, all topics should be covered, and the text so covered should be the original source text, or what is called as the Prasthanatraya. Alright? Yes. So, Shastra means a complete coverage. A text which gives a complete coverage of the topics is called a Shastra. Generally speaking. And what is a Prakarana? Prakarana is that which takes a particular topic and covers that. Only that. That is how in Tattva Viveka Prakarana, only Tattva was discussed. The important tattvas of Vedanta was discussed, leading to the final tattva of the Jiva Brahmaikya. In the Mahabhuta Viveka Prakarana, using the Mahabhutas, the ultimate reality was shown. Now you see only one topic, Mahabhutas are taken. Panchakosha, the 5 koshas and how the ultimate reality is revealed through that. Panchakosha. Now we come to the topic Prakarana, which is called Dvaita Viveka Prakarana. Dvaita, the realm of duality. In other words, the word Dvaita here refers to Jagat. Dvaita, duality, subject-object dichotomy. So, the experiencer and the experienced. That is Dvaita. In other words, this Jagat that we experience, this world of plurality that we experience, is what is termed as Dvaita here by its expression. Dvaita literally means duality. Duality literally means subject-object. But here the word Dvaita stands for Jagat, the realm of duality, the realm of plurality. Dvaita Viveka. Viveka means differentiation. Differentiation means clarity. When we differentiate, we understand clearly. So when it is said Dvaita Viveka, what it means is that understanding the world, understanding the realm of plurality. And this Prakarana, this topical text deals with this, understanding the world. Understanding the world. Now, you will see who can create the world. World cannot create the world. Do you agree? Why world cannot create the world? Because creation is a property of a sentient being. Sentient things create. Who constructed this house? If I say Ramco Cements, even if I say Ramco Cement, you will keep in mind, oh, this cement for this building was gifted, was sponsored by who? The owner of the chairman of Ramco Cement, is it not? You will never understand that cement created itself. So much we are sure that inert cannot create, it is a sentient which creates. Anything you ask. Anything. Chair, carpenter. Don't we say like that? And then we ask for the name. This chair looks good. Which carpenter? Who? Which shop? The inert organizes itself based on certain kind of guidelines and rules. But again, we can never appreciate the fact that inerts can organize themselves by themselves. I usually give an example when you come here and then you see all the chairs put properly before the class. You will never think that the chairs themselves arrange themselves. And we get very frightened if the inert moves when we do not know a sentient factor involved. Just imagine for a moment this glass which is in my table suddenly rises by itself and starts moving like that. What will happen? Immediately we get frightened, is it not? Why we think that this cannot go by itself? There's a ghost somewhere. We always, with respect to creation, any action, we presuppose a sentient being. Okay? And therefore, when we say creation, we have to accept the creator. When I say accept the creator, I mean a sentient being. And when we say sentient being, in Vedanta, sentient beings are twofold. One is Ishvara, another is Jiva. So Dvaita when we say, or Srishti when we say, creation when we say, Jagat when we say, the creation itself is twofold because the creators are twofold. So there is something called as Ishvara Srishti and Jiva Srishti. Alright. So when we say differentiation, Dvaita Viveka, and this text deals, Prakarana deals with the differentiation of the creation, what we mean is that the differentiation of Ishvara Srishti and Jiva Srishti. So what is Ishvara Srishti? What is Jiva Srishti? You will get clarity here. The question will naturally come, why? Why should we get clarity? Because you can only solve problems you have created. Is it not? What Ishvara has created, you can't do anything about it. So first I should know what I have created. And if I understand this all I have created, then I can undo those things. Don't we say to somebody, you are the cause of all this problem, you solve it, why are you bringing it to me? Don't you say that? We say that. Who caused the problem? You. After creating all the problem, you're coming to me? Go. You solve the problem. Like that Vidyarani is saying, go. Ishvara did not create your problem. You created the problem. So by explaining Ishvara Srishti and Jeeva Srishti, what Vidyarani ji is showing to us is that where the problem is. Ishvara has created the entire Jagat. There is no problem. You created something on that. That is the problem. So, this differentiation or discrimination between Jeeva Srishti and Ishvara Srishti is to show for us crystal clear that where the problem is, in order that we can come out of the problem. That's all. So, what is Dvaita Viveka Prakarana? Differentiation in the creation. One creation is that of Ishvara, another creation is that of Jeeva. Me, the individual. Alright. These points also are detailed later on, but I think with this introduction, it is time now to enter into the text proper. Let us go into verse 1. ईश्वरेणापि जीवेन सृष्टं द्वैतं विविच्यते विवेके सति जीवेन हेयो बन्धः स्फुटी भवेत् ईश्वरेणापि जीवेन ईश्वरेणापि ईश्वरेण अपि जीवेन ईश्वरेण बै ईश्वर तृतीया Api also. Jivena by Jiva. Srishtam. So both by Ishvara and Jiva creation is there. Srishtam Utpaditam has been created. What has been created? Dvaitam. Dvaitam, Jagat, the world. And what is being done here? Vivichyate. This is being differentiated. So what is differentiated? That which is created by Ishvara, and that which is created by Jiva, that is differentiated. Very clearly it is going to be stated, this is created by Ishvara, this is created by Jiva. That we are going to distinguish. Why? Viveke sati. If such a viveka is done, if such a distinction is being understood, jivena heyaha bandha. That bondage which is to be heyaha. Heyaha. Relinquished, abandoned, rejected. That bondage which is to be put to an end by the jiva, jivena sputi bhavet. Sputi bhavet, it will become crystal clear. That is the meaning. Now let us go to the verse now. Very interestingly, the word api has been positioned in a particular place. You see here. Ishvarena api jivena. Api is also. Where would you position the word api? Before jivena or after jivena? Ishvarena srishtam dvaitam. Jivena api srishtam dvaitam. Okay, so the word api goes after jiva in order to indicate the visheshata. Okay, Ishvarena srishtam, jivena api srishtam. Okay, number one. Also, the word api also has the sense of samuchchaya. Samuchaya means together. Both jiva and Ishvara, like that. It has got a sense. And in that way, the word api functions as cha in Sanskrit. Cha, chakara. So that way, when you take api as samuchayartha. Samuchayartha means in the sense of and. In English, we say Rama and Krishna. Is it not? Whereas in Sanskrit, what we usually do is that the cha is brought to the end of the components which are to be brought together. Ramaha, Krishnaha, cha. Or what you do is that Ramascha, Krishnascha. The cha you bring in both the places. But if you use a single cha, the cha has to come after the second or whatever is listed. So, if you take api as samuchayartha, then the word api has to be read. Ishvarena jivena api. Notwithstanding all these reasons, Vidyaranyaji has put api with Ishvarena. Why? Because we all think we are creators. Nobody has got any doubt about that. Isn't it? We all think we are creators. One song we write, is it not? Or some article people write, or something we do, some cooking we do, something we do. And then we all have the garva of we have created. But the entire world is there in front. We forget that there could be a cosmic creator, is it not? And that is, really speaking, our ignorance. Initially, it looks as though Ishvara has created Jiva also, because we think that we are not created. But really speaking, we know for sure we are creators. And we have doubt about whether Ishvara is the creator. And therefore, he says, Ishvarena api jivena srishtam dvaitam. Alright. Now you understand why the word api is put. No, this is all you are thinking. You can think further. But the point is that if you take api as samuchaya, it has to come after jiva. If you want to give visheshata to jiva to say he is a creator, then you have to bring the word api after jiva. But if you want to give visheshata to Ishvara to be the creator, then api has to go with Ishvara. And Sanskrit gives you all these permutations and combinations. It is quite possible. But flowing with the text, the word api goes with Ishvara, because immediately after this verse, he is going to cite certain Upanishadic statements which goes to assert that Ishvara is the creator. And therefore, considering the flow of the text, Api goes with Ishwar. All these things are meant for those people who think. Otherwise, what is the problem? Api can go anywhere. Okay. All right. Ishwarena Api Jivena Srishtam Dvaitam Vivichyate Viveke Sati Jivena Heyaha Bandaha. The purpose of this discussion is to find out where exactly bondage is. That is the purpose for this discussion of the differentiation between Jiva Srishti and Ishwara Srishti. The purpose he makes it clear. Once we identify where the problem is, whether Ishwara has created Bandha or Jiva has created Bandha, then we can put an effort and we will find out for truth that there is no bondage at all in Ishwara Srishti. The bondage is in our making. And therefore, what it means, don't meddle with Ishwara Srishti. You don't have to meddle with it. You don't have to put an end to the world. For example, in the path of yoga, they think that this is a problem, world is a problem, mind is a problem. This is what the yoga chitta vritti nirodha. What is yoga? Yoga is defined as chitta vritti nirodha. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Jnana, smriti, apohanam, forgetfulness, everything comes from me, meaning Ishwara Srishti. Therefore, you don't have to worry about it. See? If you understand that what is Ishwara Srishti, and if you understand where exactly bondage lies, your effort will be productive. Without understanding the problem, to solve a problem is to only compound the problem. So first you understand the problem. Then you solve the problem. So the effort in this chapter is to identify your problem where it is. That is the beauty of this prakarana. Heyaha bandha sputi bhaved. Alright. With this first verse we will stop for today's session. Next session we will continue further. There is one student whose questions I have not answered in the last session. But I don't think there's time now. We're already 8 o'clock. So Rajshri, is Rajshri there? Yeah. Or she must be a relay student. Okay. So relay session student. So anyhow, I will take this question in the next session. Okay. Anybody has got any questions in today's session? Sputi. Clear, Amma. Clear. Sputi. Sputa is clear. Sputi bhavet becomes clear. Will become clear. Okay. Shubhani has raised a hand.
Shastra and Pramana?
Shastra functions as Pramana. The functionality of Shastra is called Pramana. It tells what it does. So what is the functionality is described by Pramana. That is why if you see the definition of Vedanta, you see Vedanto nama Upanishad. First. So what is Vedanta? It is Shastra. Next, functionality. Vedanto nama Upanishad Pramanam. So what is Vedanta? It is Shastra, Upanishad. What it does? It acts as a Pramana. That it is a Shastra, it is also emphasized by the next phrase.
tadupakarini shariraka sutradini cha.
So it tells it is a shastra. And then by using the word pramana, it tells what it does. Or it tells how we must approach it. We must approach shastra as a means of knowledge and not as something other than that. What do you mean something other than that? Means of knowledge means how do you approach your eye? How do you think of your eye? You think of your eye as giving you something, right? Knowledge. And that knowledge is how? Knowledge is proximate. It's not remote. So Vedanta is supposed to give you a realization. It's supposed to give you a knowledge. So until it gives you that knowledge, you have not used it properly. So we conclude.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.